So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We are going to give you a ballot. We are going to make you, on this Wednesday, this hump day edition of the show, we are going to allow you tolos out there for this 15 to 20 minute segment to be a Heisman voter. However, the only trick is your vote is due today, and that's where we start the show. If the season were concluding right now and we had to decide who was going to be the Heisman winner, Diesel, Tolos, and you had a vote, who would get your vote? That's where we're starting the show. Welcome into Wire to Wire. He's Diesel. I'm Cole Bryson. So good to be with you on this hump day edition of Wire to Wire. Good to see JB, the OG Tolo, in the stream already. And hope you Tolos are excited about a Wednesday show that's absolutely loaded. And I mean slam-packed today. If you don't know, we've got a big show coming your way. We're going to get into a little NFL. We also have upset picks beginning 1 hour from now. Don't send them in yet. We go behind enemy lines and talk to Toby Rowland, the play-by-play voice of the Oklahoma Sooners. We've got Bill Bender. We've got our high school player of the week in about 30 minutes. Are you ready, Diesel? As Rico Dowdle said, you better be buckled up because we have a loaded show coming your way.
Well, I was going to say hump day. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
And you're on a new microphone over there.
I didn't know that you would understand that because you're a young fella.
Yeah, no, I know hump day.
I don't know. This one.
What happened?
It's not on. Like, there's no light, no power, no nothing.
No
in
way.
This thing, it's dead. So I had to switch over to the other one.
So let me get your levels right.
Whoop,
I think
whoop,
we're
whoop. Hump day.
Wow. We're breaking microphones. What are we doing here? What kind of operation is this? Is it plugged? Is it plugged into the wall? Let's go back to the basics here. What are we doing here?
It's a good question.
Blame Rob Brown?
Probably.
That is wild. So hopefully Diesel on the new microphone today sounds A-okay. Does this sound okay to you?
In my headset, it does.
Okay, good.
Tolos, you have to be the one to answer. Dewey says, Diesel, you're fired.
Oh, man.
Let's see.
It means you have to go home. Tragic would that be, right? How tragic would that be? Stephen Webb, good to see him on the stream as well. 32 Tolos already watching the show, as you can do on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. But Diesel, the latest Heisman odds are out. And I want to know from the Tolos, as well as you, Diesel, who you would vote for Heisman right now and why. As of yesterday evening, BetMGM has Carson Beck and Ty Simpson both tied at plus 350, leading the Heisman odds. They also have Fernando Mendoza, Indiana quarterback, at plus 550. Jeremiah Smith, receiver for Ohio State, at plus 1400. Julian Sayin, plus 1500. Dante Moore, quarterback of Oregon, at plus 1700. And Marcel Reed of A&M, Diesel, at plus 2000. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys in this Heisman conversation. Do you have a, because I want to see if you feel differently than I do, do you have an early lean right now? Because when I go through these Heisman favorites, maybe it's a good thing that there's a little parity. I'm having trouble kind of finding a lean here on one of these guys.
Yeah, look, I know that this is probably going to go the direction of the best player on a really good team. And when they're all on really good teams, I think they tend to fall back on brand a little bit. And in my mind, it should be a guy that has done it at an extremely high level at a program that's not used to having a tremendous amount of success, that maybe doesn't have as many five stars littered around him as do guys like Carson Beck and Ty Simpson. For me, I would say if I had my vote right now today, I'm putting Fernando Mendoza number one on my list as the quarterback who should be the Heisman this year. I mean, he's been incredible. And Indiana doesn't have the same guys around him that they're putting around Ty Simpson at Alabama, that they're putting around Carson Beck at Miami. That's not to knock either of those two guys. They're both incredible. They're both having amazing seasons.
They are.
They would be, they would certainly be at the Heisman Trophy ceremony in New York. They would be invited. They should be there. But, I mean, come on. A guy that's done it at a place where you're not supposed to do it. That's what makes the Heisman to me.
You know, I think there's so many things that go into it. I look at these candidates, and, you know, it's funny because we had this conversation preseason, Diesel. I don't see Cade Klubnik. I don't see Drew Aller. I don't see Arch Manning, right? We were told preseason that those three are going to all win the Heisman. All three of them are going to win the Heisman, right? That's what we were told, at least. Now, you look, none of the three are there. Carson Beck's interesting. Let's start with him. By the way, Caesars has Carson Beck Diesel at plus 325. Beck saw his odds drop from plus 1,100 to 500 after Miami defeated Florida State 2 weeks ago. So think about that. Before the Hurricanes beat Florida State, Diesel, Carson Beck was 1,100, plus 1,100. After they beat Florida State, Carson Beck dropped to 550, or rose to 550, rather. The Miami quarterback's now the favorite in a lot of sports books, even though the Canes didn't play last week. I don't know if that'll last, but I think the problem is, Diesel, it's only October. Miami's played its tough games early in the season. Miami's biggest remaining regular season game is at SMU. So I think Carson Beck's done a tremendous job setting the tone early this season. I just don't know if you look at the back end, the back half of Miami's schedule, Diesel. I don't know if Carson Beck will be able to impress the Heisman voters enough down the stretch.
Yeah, when it comes to that final decision making, they'll kind of fall victim to a little bit of that recency bias.
Yeah.
And as Carson Beck, I'm sure he's still going to have amazing numbers, right? He's still probably going to put up multiple touchdowns a game. He's going to throw for 250 a game, 300 plus every week down the stretch. And that's impressive in its own right, to be able to do that with that level of consistency, albeit against weaker competition. But the story is going to be what the story is going to be. And the national attention will turn to those that are still playing in big-time games.
I want to know from the Tolos out there as well on the Hub City Spartanburgers text line, 844-326-3663. If you had a vote on the ballot today and you had to submit an early entry in, who would your vote be for today in terms of who you would vote for the Heisman Trophy winner? Would it be Carson Beck? Would it be you mentioned Fernando Mendoza? Would it be Ty Simpson? Mm-hmm. A lot of choices here. I think it's interesting to look at when I go back to those odds of BetMGM. They have Carson Beck at plus 350, Ty Simpson at plus 350. Caesars has Carson Beck edging out Ty Simpson right now at plus 325 to plus 350. And Diesel, you look, Miami's beaten Notre Dame in terms of good games, good teams. They beat USF. They did beat Florida, right? They beat Florida State. They're right now 5-0. Here's the problem, though. You mentioned recency bias. I think that's going to be a big part of it. Down the stretch, they have Louisville, Stanford, SMU, Syracuse, NC State, Virginia Tech, and Pitt. Do we believe Carson Beck, Diesel, is going to be able to do enough against those schools to compete with strong performances against Ty Simpson? Or could you flip it the other way? Could you flip it the other way, Diesel, and say, actually, no, Carson Beck has a better chance at winning the Heisman because he's got weaker teams. He can put up better numbers down the stretch, right? It's going to be a little bit tougher for a Ty Simpson or a Julian or, a Fernando Mendoza down the stretch. You could look at it that way.
I mean, I think most likely Ty Simpson and Alabama will fall out of all of these, out of these three teams. And it's only because they play an extremely tough schedule. And one of these days, Ty Simpson is going to look like a first-year starter in the SEC. He's not going to be perfect all season long.
It looked great against Florida State, right?
Right. And so those are those little things that create that doubt in a Heisman Trophy voter's mind and make him say, well, I think Fernando Mendoza or I think Carson Beck just kind of edges him out just a little bit. And if he can continue to do what he's doing and elevate, continue to, you know, build and get a little bit better, a little bit better every single week, maybe we're talking about a different story here come the end of the season.
Let's take a look over at the stream where we're live on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. You can watch the show. Good to see 47 Tolos in the stream right now. JB says Mendoza, Indiana quarterback. Let's see. Dewey says, typically Simpson, I hate Carson Beck. He sucks, and he's a sellout. Is that what he is? JB says, Mendoza has the best win, Oregon on the road. Ty Simpson has the worst loss, Florida State. That's a good point by JB there. He also says, plus Mendoza will probably get a shot at number one Ohio State, the Big Ten title game. I've got Mendoza. That's a good point from JB Diesel. What if Mendoza at the end of the season can say, I beat Oregon on the road and I beat Ohio State? You got to give me the Heisman Trophy, don't you?
But what if Ohio State makes Fernando Mendoza look pedestrian at the end of the season?
And they could.
It's one of those high-risk, high-reward situations. If you're Fernando Mendoza and you lead Indiana to a win, or you look amazing in a loss. I mean, let's say this thing is a barn burner and it's 45-42, final score, and Mendoza looked really good and threw for five touchdowns in that game. You could still make the case like, hey, they lost the game, but he was still incredible against a defense that's done a really good job at shutting a lot of teams down this year. So, I mean, there's opportunities for Mendoza to what's the opposite of shine? To falter? There's an opportunity for Ty Simpson to falter. I don't know that there's that opportunity for Carson Beck to falter, but like you said, weak competition. And how much is the Heisman Trophy voter base going to value that?
And something that we mentioned a few minutes ago when talking about Carson Beck with a recency bias, to your point there with Fernando Mendoza in that late game possibly against Ohio State, that'll be a conference championship game. So you're talking about recency bias really being a part of the conversation, right? Because it was something they just saw, Diesel. Like, they're making the decision after the conference championships. So good or bad, that could impact Fernando Mendoza. I do think that guy will be in the top three. I think he'll be in the top three when it's all said and done. Fernando Mendoza on the season, by the way, a 71.2 completion percentage. 71.2. That's elite at the college level. 1,400 yards, 17 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's got a quarterback rating of 183.4. So you compare that 17 touchdown to 2 interception ratio to Ty Simpson, 16 touchdowns, 1 interception. You compare it to Carson Beck, only 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Fernando Mendoza, between the three, has more touchdowns. He has one more touchdown than Ty Simpson in Alabama. And to be fair, Diesel, this is his first season at Indiana. He was at Cal for 2 years.
Yeah.
So a lot of newness. And this guy's, all he's done is a 71.2 completion percentage with 1,400 yards, 17 touchdowns. Did you say that Mendoza right now would be your guy?
He would be right now.
It's hard to argue that, right?
For as much as you and I and a lot of our Tolos dislike the transfer portal and the way it guts teams, you do have to enjoy the fact that there are players like Fernando Mendoza that would have been stuck on an awful team at Cal and would never have been able to make a name for themselves and would never be able to show out and potentially continue his career playing in the NFL or otherwise. And all of a sudden, he comes to Indiana, gets new coaching, new receivers, new blockers, and the guy looks incredible, right? He looks like the second coming of name your quarterback.
Right.
So, you know, that's sort of the upside of the transfer portal, but, God, there's so many downsides to it.
Let's see. Rushing-wise, Carson Beck on the season has one rushing touchdown. Ty Simpson has two rushing touchdowns. Diesel and Fernando Mendoza has two rushing touchdowns. So all three quarterbacks, talking about Simpson, Mendoza, and Carson Beck, are pocket passer type quarterbacks, right? They have a couple touchdowns on the season. Nothing like overly impressive, but I think I would agree with you. I think I would agree with you, Diesel, that Fernando Mendoza has to be the leader in the clubhouse. Now, if you look down the rest of the list, what about Jeremiah Smith and Julian Sayin? 1,400 plus 1,400 plus 1,500. Dante Moore of Oregon plus 1,700. A little bit of a long shot right now. He's fallen a little bit. Marcel Reed of A&M. Why isn't Marcel Reed higher in this conversation? He is plus 2,000. And I don't know if you know this or not, Texas A&M's undefeated. They hadn't lost a football game. Marcel Reed's stats, are they what the others are when it comes to Mendoza? Well, let's look. He's got 1,490 yards, only 12 interceptions, excuse me, only 12 touchdowns to four interceptions. A completion percentage at 60. So his numbers aren't the same. Marcel Reed's numbers aren't the same. However, Marcel Reed does provide a little bit more on the ground game, three touchdowns on the season. I think Fernando Mendoza is the clear leader in the clubhouse. Jeremiah Smith is the only receiver right now in the top, what, seven? When you look at the Heisman odds, Jeremiah Smith plus 1,400. Didn't we come into the season, Diesel, thinking that Jeremiah Smith might have a shot to win the Heisman Trophy? Unfortunately, like you and I have talked about many times, it's turned into a quarterback award. You know, it's turned into a quarterback award.
It always has been. Yeah. It always has been. And it's just, it's hard because how do you gauge stats? How do you compare, for example, just making up an example here, a defensive end who gets, you know, 15 sacks in a season.
Like a Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, somebody who's amazing off the edge. You look at 15 sacks and you're trying to compare that to a quarterback who's maybe throwing 30, 35 touchdowns, a couple thousand yards. It's just not nearly as impressive.
By the way, Jeremiah Smith, 40 receptions, 505 yards, 7 touchdowns. He's averaging 12.6. He's on the way to replicate what he did last year. But I will say I think Jeremiah Smith might have been expected to have a little bit bigger of a season thus far. Now, you're talking about Julian Sayin, new quarterback, right, who learning a new offense, new OC, and Julian Sayin's been fantastic. I like Julian Sayin. I've watched him several times this year. I don't know that he's Fernando Mendoza, but guess what? On the season, 1,400 yards, 15 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Do you know what for Julian Sayin's completion percentage is?
I'd probably wager to guess it's in the tippy top 70s, maybe
78.4.
Wow,
that is ungodly. That just doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. Julian Sayin completing 78.4% of his Diesel. He's not throwing many incompletions. He's thrown 120 completions on 153 attempts. The guy's just flat getting it done.
Did you, Cole, happen to go by the florist on your way to work today?
I think I forgot.
You didn't go by
the
florist?
No, I forgot. Was I supposed to?
Well, I guess because Madcraft wants his flowers. Madcraft says, looks like I was right going with Napier getting canned before Mike Norvell. Here's the thing, Madcraft. He ain't fired yet. And you'd be like the 10,000th person to call Billy Napier getting fired ASAP. This has been reported as of like 3 hours ago. Yeah. Yahoo Sports tweeted, Florida head coach Billy Napier could be fired as soon as this weekend per USA Today Sports. So he's not fired yet. What are you talking about here? You called nothing yet. What do you mean? When we come back, Cole, let's continue calling it when it comes to the Carolina Panthers' remaining 11 games on their 17-game series. Is there a way, slim as it may be, for Carolina to be in the playoff conversation? That's next.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Our high school player of the week, Reddick Langston, going to join us here in just about 6 minutes on the Fan Upstate while we're waiting to get Reddick on the phone, who he's just busy signing autographs right now because of the incredible day that he had last week. Cole, let's do a real quick rundown. The Carolina Panthers remaining 11 games of the season, sitting at 3-3 right now. Roughly 9 wins is what it's going to take to have a chance to get that wild card slot. I don't think they're going to get it. With 8, but, you know, just because, yeah, yes, the NFC South is awful. Yes, the NFC East is awful, but there's some good football being played around the NFC.
So you're saying they have to win 8 of the next 11, right?
I think
roughly.
So.
Because they're at 3 now?
They're at 3
how
now.
How many wins do you
or I
how
think many? They got to get to 9. They're probably going to have to get to 9 to have a chance.
Oh, so they'll have to win 6 of the next?
Yeah, they'll have to win 6.
Okay,
so,
6 of their next 11.
Let's go down the list here real quick.
Let's do it. I think that's a win, man.
Win, yep. At home against Buffalo.
You would be inclined to think loss, but Buffalo lost to Atlanta two nights ago. So
true.
I'll still go loss, but who knows?
I'm with you on that one. On the road at Green Bay, loss.
Yeah, Green Bay's a good team.
At home against New Orleans.
I think it's a very winnable game. They have not looked good this year.
I've got them losing on the road at Atlanta here in about 5 weeks.
Yeah, well, the reason I would agree with you, Diesel, it's hard to beat a team twice.
Yep.
You know, they've already beat them once.
I also have them losing on the road at San Francisco.
Yeah, San Francisco's playing really well.
Here's where I think this one's fun, Cole. I think they beat the Rams at home because so far, 3 of the Rams' 4 wins are against really bad teams. I think they steal this one.
It's interesting because, to your point, the Rams, they're good. They're one of the best teams. I'm going to do my NFL power rankings later in the show. They're one of the best teams in the NFL right now. Let's see.
I think they're a paper tiger.
I like it.
I got them winning on the road at New Orleans, so sweeping the Saints.
Wow, that'd be big, man. Yep. That'd be huge. Winning, two of their last 3?
Still a couple more games after that. There's still 3
more
games.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at the bottom of the page. I hadn't scrolled down far enough.
I have them losing at home against Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa's good.
Unfortunately, I also have them losing at home against Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle's good.
And then I have them losing again on the road at Tampa.
Yeah.
So not a great way to end the season with 3 straight losses. But, Cole, here's the fun thing. I got them going 4-7 down the stretch. That puts them at 7 wins. That's one up from last season. But I also think there's a chance that maybe they steal that second-to-last game against Seattle. And maybe Buffalo is as bad as some people think they might be tumbling into. So what if they beat the Rams? They beat They beat the Seahawks. And then they beat the Bills. Now you're talking about an 8-win team that's on that verge. It's on the edge. On the edge of a playoff spot. I don't know that eight's going to get them there. I think they're probably more likely going to be around seven.
Be close. They won, what, five games last year, right?
I think they won six last year.
Did they?
I think.
I don't know if they can win. I don't know if they can. Six is still three more wins. And there are winnable games there, and the Panthers are playing a lot better. But at the end of the day, there's still a really tough team. There's still some really tough teams left on the schedule. I'll tell you this. If you told me they go on the road and beat New York, and then Diesel pull the upset at home against Buffalo in less than 14 days, my opinion would drastically change, right? I'd say, ho, this team might can win 8-9 games.
Yeah.
Because at that point, they would have already won five. They're 3-3 right now, trying to improve off of last year is number one. Right. You want to win.
That's the real moral of the story. That's the real goal, is to go up a win or two from last year.
I'm pulling up their record from last year. They were 5-12 a season ago. So you're already more than halfway to your last year's win total, right? You're already more than halfway. You win two more games. You've tied it. I think there's a real possibility for what you said to happen. It's just a matter of consistency. They've got to continue to run the ball well. And, man, those division games, like, they're still going to be tough. That is a brutal last three stretch, Diesel. You read it off. Tampa Bay, Seattle. How do you play Tampa Bay twice in 3 weeks?
Who keeps doing this to the Panthers?
How does that happen?
Who keeps demoralizing the Panthers down the stretch?
And
it seems to happen like this every single year. I don't know that. I don't know that eight or maybe even nine. I don't know that nine is going to get you in the playoffs. Because the NFC North and West, as of right now, have all the good teams in it. Right, the Bears, the Vikings, a lot. Every team in the North is above 500, and three out of the four teams in the West are above 500. So, I think and Seattle's good. I think LA could be okay. We'll see.
That game,
we'll find out about the Rams.
And that game's at home for Carolina and Charlotte. You know, they have some pretty critical games though at home. Like you're talking about Buffalo at home. You're talking about, obviously, the division games at home real quick before we have our high school player of the week on. And then that game against Seattle at the end of the season, late December, that's a home game.
They really need to get at least one of those last three. So they don't end the season on three straight losses. How awful would that feel?
Yeah.
Considering the clear, visible strides they've made in this season, if you finish the year on three straight losses, two of them to a divisional rival in Tampa Bay, also to your former quarterback, that would certainly demoralize the Carolina Panthers. Sports Talk and the Fan Upstate is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Let me ask you this real quick as we get our high school player of the week on. Do you have a feeling as a Panthers fan that, like, oh my gosh, things are going good? You've won, what, two straight games now? You're at 500 for the first time in 4 years. Do you have a feeling of, oh boy, things are going to go bad? Things are going to go south. Are you nervous?
I feel like it could go squirrely at any time. I do obviously appreciate the fact that this team is finding its confidence, right? They're figuring out ways to win games. They're staying in games against teams that are on paper better than them. You know, that's invaluable to be able to build that kind of confidence. Obviously, the Atlanta win sure as heck helps. Beating Dallas sure as heck helps. I'm not going to say like yesterday it's one of the best wins in Dave Canales history, because I certainly don't want to give you dirty, filthy Dallas Cowboys fans that satisfaction. But still, I mean, it's a good win, and it's a game that last year or the year before, they would have folded like a lawn chair and they would have lost. So that's a big deal for the Carolina Panthers to get that win. And I do think that maybe this could be that spark that starts them back into that building process. The fans need it more than anything. Sure, we can talk all day about tanking and getting a better draft stock. But then again, they're going to start having some money coming in over the next couple of years as they clear off some of those old contracts off the cap. So they're going to have some money to go out and buy some good players. Maybe they could mix that in with some picks and, you know, kind of laser focus in on needing one or two key players and pursuing that rather than saying, hey, we need a little bit of everything. We need all the draft picks we can get.
It's going to be interesting, man. I kind of have a little optimism, even though I'm not a fan of that team. It's fun that they're 500. Hey, it's good that we're talking about them right now because it could be the opposite, Diesel, where they're, you know, 1-5 on the season. Speaking of talking, let's talk a little high school football, Diesel, as we are joined by our fan Upstate High School Player of the Week. We're joined every single week by whoever we nominate, and this week it's Malden quarterback Reddick Langston. On Friday against Easley, Reddick was 11 of 18 for 211 yards and 3 touchdowns through the air. He also had 10 rushes, 161 yards on the ground, and 2 rushing touchdowns. Reddick, appreciate you hopping on with us, man. Good to talk to you. Good to talk a little high school football. What is it like to get the win Friday over Easley? Obviously a big performance for you and your team, but man, you were a big part of that. Talk about Friday's win and what went into it.
Overall, it was a lot of preparation. That was really the basis that Coach Cook was talking about, along with execution. We went into the week, we were very strong film-wise. Every coach had a lot of hours. All the players had a lot of hours. We were really looking to attack the corners, attack the run game, really wanted to pound the rock. And we wanted to let it and give it to our star players, and we did. So,
Reddick, talk about, you know, running that football and how huge it was in that game. And how do you see the field? Do you see, you know, use the run to set up the pass, or do you see use the pass to set up the run?
I'd say for me, I use the run to set up the pass. You know, if I drop back, back foot hits, nothing's there, I like to scramble, you know, make the defense think on their toes and make something happen.
Reddick, you had more rushing yards, or excuse me, you had just 211 yards in the air, 161 yards on the ground Friday night. You had a lot of rushing yards. When you talk about your run game and that part of your game as a quarterback, when would you say playing football coming up as a kid and through middle school, when would you say you started to realize that the rushing aspect could be a part of your game?
It was mostly when I started playing lacrosse.
Oh,
honestly.
Wow.
Because, you know, I wouldn't say I'm really too scared to hit people. So, you know, I started playing lacrosse. You get bashed by sticks every once in a while. So if I see space in the, you know, the green grass, I'm going to run to it. So,
Reddick, what were you seeing differently on the field last Friday that you hadn't been seeing prior to that? I mean, a couple of tough losses for Malden leading into that game, and then all of a sudden the team just bursts open and puts up nearly 50.
I'd say it was a mentality. You know, everybody was confident. Everybody was hyped. Throughout the week, practice was electric. Everybody was moving on the same page, thinking the same way. And even during the game, everybody was talking on the sidelines. You know, people know what they wanted to do. Coach Cook was writing new plays down. We haven't ran. We ran a new play in the game and scored the first time we ran it. So everybody was really just clicking on defense and offense. So,
yeah, sounds like that was a big part of it. We're joined by Reddick Langston, quarterback of the Malden Mavericks. He was 11 of 18, 211 yards through the air on Friday in the win over Easley, 3 touchdowns through the air. He had 10 rushes for 161 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. Langston, or Reddick, you mentioned lacrosse. We've seen other quarterbacks throughout the course of the past few years play lacrosse and also play quarterback. Go into that a little bit more. You talked about finding open space, being able to run and pick up yardage with your legs. How does lacrosse make you a better football player, and how does football make you a better lacrosse player?
I'd say it helps with speed, agility, also being able to read the entire field. You know, you can't just stare at one person while playing lacrosse. Mm. You know, it's constant movement. There's no stops in between plays. You got to be able to process everything. You can't have tunnel vision. So, and, you know, it works on toughness. Mm. So that's a plus.
Reddick, does the Greenville game coming up hold any special significance? You know, Malden is a suburb of Greenville. You know, they're the big city boys, and Malden, you know, has a cow pasture across the road from the from the high school. Does this one have a little extra juice for you, or is it just another game?
It definitely has juice. I've only played at Greenville's home field once, I believe. So I really want to go in there and make it happen. But it would also be big for the program to be able to win, you know, this game and then the following four region games, first time in a long time.
Hey, Reddick, let me ask you this, man. When you talk about your play, obviously it was really big on Friday, but some of the guys that you were able to get involved offensively, your running backs, your wide receivers, talk about some of the other guys that helped you have such a successful night on Friday.
First off, you know, O-line, you know, got to give appreciation to them.
That's right.
They played absolutely amazing. No sacks, pounded the rock, a bunch, over 500 yards of offense. Tamari Shepard, 2 touchdowns, almost 100 receiving yards. Makai McClintock, amazing. You know, hit him on a couple short routes throughout the game and the first touchdown. Tarris Thomason and Kamari Cannon, both pounded the rock. Relentless, running the ball. And
I shouldn't have asked you. You start naming guys, you'll forget about one or two, right?
Yeah.
Reddick,
go ahead. Off the top of my head, that's all I can think of.
Reddick, you're a senior, so this makes it your last ride at Malden. How would you say in your time at Malden that you've seen this program take those strides that you think it'll be left in a better place after you move on?
I definitely think it will be. You know, I got moved up sophomore year, you know, blown out every game. And then, you know, last year I got injured. But, you know, the place that he has taken, you know, Coach Cook has taken the program throughout the 3 years is honestly remarkable. Mm. You know, because we started, you know, we had a bad culture and bad mentality going into games. It was every man for themselves. And now it is a team. It is we's. It is not an I, a me. It is we are going to go out there and we are going to play our best and not drag around and, you know, just play.
Yeah, I love that. Reddick, when you're not playing football on Friday nights, what are your hobbies? What can somebody find Reddick Langston doing in his free time?
Either, you know, watching film or Clemson games.
That's
watching.
A good answer. A good answer, watching film, right? Did I hear you say you're a Clemson fan?
Oh, yeah, big time.
What are your thoughts on this season they've had?
Oh, you know, no comment on that one. We're just going to move on from that question.
I like it. I like it. You could be a politician the way you're dodging these questions. I like it. Reddick, great stuff, man. Congratulations on your performance against Easley, and congratulations on being named the Fan Upstate Player of the Week, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Best of luck Friday at Serene Stadium versus Greenville.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. That's Reddick Langston. You heard him right here on the Fan Upstate, our Fan Upstate Player of the Week. Not going to talk about Clemson, though, and the 3-3.
He is just all about ball. You know, he could have said, I'm a senior in high school, man. Yeah. I'm into chasing around girls. I'm into this. I'm into that. I'm into playing video games. Nah, man, for him, it is all ball all the time.
But he's right about Andre Cook. We've had him on the show, obviously, and on Saturday mornings as well. Malden was, man, he's right. They were in a bad spot. And I know sometimes you look at wins and losses, and that's the only thing that fans look at. But to his point, Andre Cook's done a really good job bringing some stability back to this program. And, man, that's a big game Friday. Malden at Greenville, Scoot Watson first year at Greenville Diesel. And you mentioned it, a little bit of a rivalry game for those guys. You know, neither team wants to lose to somebody who's really, really close to you, just to what, from Malden to Serene Stadium.
20 minutes down the road,
15, 20 minutes. So that's a big one Friday, man, a really, really big one here in the Upstate.
I have a feeling, Cole, that Malden High School, given just the way that construction is happening in Malden and in that area, as it just keeps getting denser and denser and denser with more and more houses, I think Malden is going to go on a little bit of a mini run over the next 10, 15 years.
As a lot of
more
growth.
And more people keep moving into that area.
Yeah.
It keeps growing for sure.
It's going to be a lot of fun to see. Again, we'll have more conversation about the high school games on Friday in our weekly picks, but it's time to do our whip around of the sports headlines and our Daily Wires next.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So much to get to on the show, but there's a lot of things that we don't have time to take a deep dive into. We have a segment where we hit our headlines. We call them Daily Wires. And that starts now. These are the Los Angeles Dodgers' dominant starting pitching through two games. The National League Championship Series puts Game 3 starter Tyler Glasnow in a tough spot. After all, Blake Snell went 8 dazzling innings in Game 1. In Tuesday's Game 2, Yamamoto went one better, tossing the first playoff complete game in 8 years. The performance boosted the Dodgers to a 5-1 win over the Brewers, sending Los Angeles home with a 2-0 lead in the NLCS, and the Dodgers look unbeatable.
So they let Yamamoto go a complete game, but they wouldn't let Snell go a complete game?
Oh,
the heck.
Alex Bregman plans to opt out of his contract with the Boston Red Sox, a source told ESPN on Tuesday night, confirming a New York Post report. Huge news in Boston. The move was expected and doesn't rule out the veteran third baseman returning to Boston, but for now, he'll be a part of the free agent class for a second straight offseason. That'll be interesting to follow along with. The Big Ten's proposed $2 billion-plus private capital deal is facing headwinds after a joint meeting Tuesday afternoon between trustees at Michigan and USC led to unified questions about the plan. Sources who were on the call told ESPN Diesel the sources, or the two schools, discussed their shared skepticism during the call. One sticking point was the deal doesn't address the root issue, soaring cost, that has made just the need for cash so imperative for athletic departments. Just providing short-term money, sources said, does not solve that issue.
You know, with these kind of big deals, these massive influxes, they'll go away just as fast as they came. Mm. And there's never a guarantee that you're going to get somebody else to sign a $2 billion contract to be a part of your conference or your team.
I wish I could sign a $2 billion contract, don't you?
Be nice. I can't even fathom what that looks like.
Is $2 billion a real thing? Is that a real? Does anybody know?
I'm going to ask ChatGPT, how big, volume-wise, would $2 billion be in $20 bills?
Oh, my God. That's some of the funniest stuff. Maybe ChatGPT can be better at that than it can be at helping me with upset picks. Speaking of upset picks, the challenge opens in 9 minutes. We've already had one Tolo send in their pick. I responded back and said, too early. It doesn't count. The Upset Picks Challenge opens every Wednesday at 4 p.m. In Frisco, Texas, Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager and head idiot Jerry Jones is not ready to concede anything about what the 2025 season can be, even with his team's 2-3-1 record. Disappointed with Sunday's loss to the Panthers, Jones was biled by the Washington Commanders' loss to the Chicago Bears, which keeps Cowboys in the chase in the NFC East. Diesel, I can't talk all of a sudden. What's your name? The Philadelphia Eagles lead the division with a 4-2 record but have lost 2 straight games. Commanders are 3-3 and visit AT&T Stadium on Sunday. And according to ESPN Analytics, Diesel, the Cowboys right now have a 19% chance to make the postseason. Not good.
not a good percentage there. In Lake Forest, Illinois, Bears wide receiver DJ Moore is back in Chicago after spending the night in a Washington, D.C. area hospital. We talked about this yesterday, but he is back in Chicago. Johnson, the head coach, declined to provide details about Moore's injury, but categorized the receiver as day-to-day.
I have an answer for you, by the way.
Do you?
Yeah. $2 billion in $20 bills would take up approximately 62 4x4x4 pallets. 62 4x4x4 pallets of cash. That's $2 billion in $20 bills.
That is unbelievable. I would love to see it in person. I really would. Last night in college football, Liberty defeated New Mexico State 30-27. Arkansas State defeated South Alabama 15-14. And FIU defeated Western Kentucky 25-6. Tonight in college football, Delaware at Jackson. Yeah, riveting, right?
Well, the FIU, Western Kentucky was 5-1.
That's true. That's true. Tonight, more riveting games, Diesel. Are you ready for this? Delaware at Jacksonville State. Get your popcorn ready.
Ooh.
And a one-win UTEP at a winless Sam Houston.
Oh, boy. Wow. Pillow fight of the
week.
Yes.
Both games kick at 7 o'clock tonight. Also tonight in the MLB, the Blue Jays in Seattle, 8:08 first pitch. However, Seattle leads the series 2-0 over Toronto. And, boy, this is a big one tonight. Shane Bieber versus George Kirby tonight on the mound.
See, this is why I was saying Major League Baseball needs to stop trying to go head-to-head with Monday Night Football. They need to be going head-to-head with UTEP versus, who was it, Sam Houston.
Don't you disrespect Sam Houston.
Nobody's going to be watching that crap. They're all going to be watching baseball.
Congratulations to the Fan Upstate Player of the Week for Week 7 performance against Easley. You just heard from Maunden High School quarterback Reddick Langston. In case you missed it, you can hear it on the fanupstate.com, but he had a huge night. Also, in case you missed it, Furman fell to Western Carolina on Saturday by a score of 52-7. Furman now 4-2 on the season, 2-1 in conference play, and those are your Daily Wires.
When we come back, it is time for you, time for I, and time for all the Tolos
to lose.
Get in their upset picks for week number 8. I've got some leans. We'll go through them. We didn't do it yesterday. We'll go through them while Tolos are sending theirs in. Upset Picks Challenge starts at 4. Don't send it in before. No, wait till 4. That's next.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.